there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome!
Why so dramatic?
It's live.
Into the Ringerverse. We are live. This is the first. Hey, give it up, everybody. This is the first time the Midnight Boys have been going live. Mm-hmm. I just let you guys know that normally we introduce the collective too, but they don't want to do live. They're too afraid. They're not on mic.
Wait, seriously? Today. Was that what y'all were discussing while I was not here?
Yeah. This is the Nexus Podcast. For all things fam, we are Steve the Architect, Almond the Builder, a Tigger of Things. We are Jomie the Explainer, Adeneron. You've got questions, he's got answers. We are Old Man Van, he of the receding, resurgent hairline. We are Coke, Baby Chuck, 24 karat closer. Together we are known as the Midnight Boys. Now the collective is with us today. I want to make sure that we always acknowledge the collective. We got Corey.
Music Man.
Music Man is what I said?
Yes.
I'm coming back from Vegas. Alea, no nicknames, Daenerys, and Old Man Isaiah.
Where's the flask, Isaiah?
Isaiah doesn't have the flask. Boy, let me tell you something right now. If anybody from Clutch is watching this, Isaiah was going crazy on Bronny James. It seemed like a personal vendetta.
I mean, he was like, Jaylen Brown, not only did Jaylen Brown have a point, he's never been more right in his life. And frankly, he should get the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yeah.
Wow,
Jaylen Brown didn't just have a point. He had about 20 points sitting next to him in that.
Gotta
two
stop.
Ten.
We not.
We got to talk about
this
it.
This is lie.
Young women.
Okay.
Jaylen Brown.
Not even 5 minutes in, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Good for him. He's doing well. Jaylen Brown is doing well.
He can't make the NBA. He can't make the Olympic team, though.
Yeah. All right. Follow us on socials. Insta, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, for now, save Jomie's job. Jomie, socials.
Dude, I mean, this is a social ever get. We're live. We're on YouTube. People can comment. They can interact with us. It's cool as hell.
All right, let's not slob on the knob on live.
See, no, I really do hate
We're on live. It's fine.
That's how I know hating is deep in your heart. I try to show love to the fans. Hey, we live. We out here. We having a good time. And you mad.
Wait a minute. Are we able to keep up with what the fans are doing?
Yes. In real time.
Who's keep, are you
I
keeping
can,
up?
I can pull it up right now.
Pull it up, because I want to know. I want to be able to say, put stuff in the chat. I've never been able to say that before. W's in the chat for the Midnight Boys. W's in the chat for the Midnight Boys. And see if they do it.
Look.
Did they put them?
Corny. Look, Joey D36 said I was corny. Look, I'm doing my job.
Wait.
He is.
Oh, they put the W's in the chat! Oh! That's the first time I ever did that. I've seen people do that before. I never see it. Okay. We're now on YouTube. You can watch every Midnight Boys House of R. Talk to Thrones episodes on YouTube.com/ at Ringerverse. Like, comment, and subscribe. Also, tomorrow, you guys, Ringerverse will be live at the El Rey Theater this summer in L.A. We'll be there on July 17th. That's tomorrow. Chuck, you're excited about that, my friend?
I am excited.
Chuck is ready to go. Check out ringer.com/events for more info. Bye-bye! Every Tuesday and Thursday, House of R will deep dive into the House of the Dragon and the Acolyte. Every Monday, the Midnight Boys will give you their reactions, our reactions on Hot D. And Thursday, we'll be back for the Boys Season 4 finale. Chuck.
Yeah?
What are your thoughts?
Oh, no, we're not doing this. On the Boys?
Yeah, I got to give you, what just real quick, I need a pre-Chuck. All right?
Pre-check-in. You know... All after this episode of The Acolyte, all the Boys needs to do is just trip over the bar.
There you go. So,
okay.
Every Sunday, Talk to Thrones will be up right after the latest episode of Hot D Ends. I got to tell you guys something that I did. I didn't mean to do that.
Here we go.
So look, here's the deal. When I was in Vegas this past weekend, I have this thing. I like to listen to bedtime stories to take me to sleep now.
Sure,
you guys, we talked about this, the bedtime stories. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I came across this one YouTube site called Video Books. It has an 11 hour and 38 minute.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Full history of the entire house of the Targaryens.
Wow.
Targaryens, whatever. I was listening to it. It was fantastic. They got some stuff going on. We haven't even scratched the surface about what we could do with these blonde psychopaths.
What happened to the YouTube dude you were listening to who was talking about the fucking Galactica bubbling?
He went too far. So let me say something real quick, and we'll get into the show. The thing about YouTube is when you follow YouTubers,
yeah,
you always get too into their lives in a way.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know? And then they start beefing with each other.
Yeah.
Every once in a while,
YouTube star beef?
Oh my God. No.
Are you kidding me?
Literally every month, nothing makes me feel older than finding out some YouTuber that I've never heard of did something horrible, and they have a bajillion followers.
I'm like watching one of my favorite YouTubes is a YouTube called The Modern Martial Artist. The guy's really good at breaking down boxing and stuff. One day I look on his page and he's just talking shit about another YouTuber.
And
I want to let you know that what Left Hook Uppercut said about me isn't true. And it's like, when that happens, I normally peel back for it. I want to get too into it.
Sure. We'll be doing that soon enough.
Spoiler warning. For all Star Wars content.
All Star Wars books, too.
Oh, I got to say something real quick. People were mad at me because I got something wrong, okay?
Okay.
The Great Hyperspace Disaster is canon. That wasn't from Legends. I apologize. I just want to say something. Mm-hmm. Y'all have to be so mean about it.
You don't have to be mean.
I made a mistake. Everybody was like, Van is an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm sorry, guys. I say a lot of words, thousands of words. All right. Spoiler warning. Steve, give it to me.
We're getting ready to talk about The Acolyte. You're listening to a reaction podcast. The spoilers are coming.
All right, to begin our reactions, we again bring you the Midnight Manifest to put you in the know. The only way to do that is, of course, the Manifest. The only person that can do that is Chuck Wagon. Let's go.
All right, this is your Midnight Manifest.
Live.
Acolyte, directed by Hanel Culpepper, written by Jason McAuliffe. Would you guys stop?
What?
You guys
you're
are like
it.
Little kids.
You're doing it live.
Fucking you're kindergarten. Doing, you're staring. I know you don't
you're
stare.
Doing it live.
Usually you guys are like looking at your phones. Don't stare at
we
me.
We can't
bro.
Do that
you're
now,
doing dude. It live. I want to see if you can get through it.
Stop.
You're doing it live.
Stop looking at
okay.
me.
Okay.
Anyway. Yo, after having a vision of May killing Soul, Ocean, Khmer, go to Brendok to stop her. Soul chases May on Brendok, claiming that he can finally prove to the Jedi that the Vergence on the planet is real.
Oh,
Khmer finds Soul, and the two engage in a lightsaber fight where Soul is ultimately victorious.
That's great.
Meanwhile, May... Shut up. May confronts Osha and tries to tell her the truth about what happened on Brendok when they were children.
God.
After a scuffle, May escapes and stops Soul from killing Khmer. And in the process... Dan. In the process, gets Soul to admit that he killed the sister's mother in front of Osha.
What?
Osha takes Soul's lightsaber, bleeds his kyber crystal, and force chokes him to death. Ocean May run away to the tree, which is revealed to be the Vergence. Khmer finds the sisters, and Osha agrees to be his pupil if he lets May go. But the Sith Master has to wipe May's memories of her sister so the Jedi cannot track them. Vernestra and a group of Jedi track Soul to the planet and find May alone with their memory wiped. And Vernestra reveals what Soul did to the Senate and Master Yoda, while Khmer, Osha, and seemingly Darth Plagueis hide for now. And that's been your Midnight Manifest.
Give it up for Charles and Midnight Manifest.
Here you go, man. Episode ended like 10 minutes ago. He's on the money.
All right, so look, this is what we're going to do real quick. Just open it up, whoever, just go.
No, because you know what?
No,
I want to paint the picture.
You want to paint
Because we
picture.
Just watched this
we yeah. just
at Spotify
saw
Studio, and what did I say before we leave? Just because we're live doesn't mean y'all should lie.
I'm not.
So
no.
be honest.
So real quick. This is, you're cooking things a little bit. You're cooking the books.
Yeah.
Nobody's playing online. But what you're doing is, what you're saying now is that if there is a chance that somebody liked the episode, that they are being untruthful
yeah.
about it. And I don't think that that's true necessarily.
All right.
Yeah.
I just think that at this point in American history, we need to be honest with the electorate. okay, okay, about the issues that are facing us.
Yes. Yes.
And okay, that's the truth about what happened on this series finale.
Okay. Give it to us then. Go ahead.
I think the Acolyte in totality is everything that I love and loathe about modern Star Wars. I think if we're talking about positives, there were moments in this episode where I'm like, why didn't someone sooner think about, like, oh, we're going to do Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon with Jedi. That's dope. That's amazing. I've been waiting my entire life to see someone bleed a Kyber crystal in live action. Fucking shit is dope. If that was Darth Plagueis, I'm like, oh man, hell yeah, whatever. But story-wise, what was this? Saul was like a completely different character. It was just like, we had started seeing his turn maybe to the dark side or him being conflicted, but it was like I was watching a completely different character who's doing just dumb shit left and right. None of the story seemed to congeal. Even the reveal that Vernestra was Khmer's master seemingly came out of nowhere. There was just all of this. We've talked about this a bunch now. These Disney Plus shows seem like they don't really have a handle on what they're doing. And then once we get to the finale, they're just rushing. Mm. And part of me was like, why didn't we get all of this in the middle of the season? Because we got a lot of interesting things. But by the end, I feel they just dumped it on their laps and like, be happy, bye.
Mm. Fellas?
I like this episode of television. I think the stuff that it did well, it did really well. And the stuff that's been plaguing it the entire series reared its ugly head again.
Yeah.
Like, the action, of course, was awesome. The Khmer and Soul fight was great. Like,
amazing.
That's right. Just, like, that's what it means. And then all the Osha May stuff, especially toward the end, you're kind of like, all right, guys. Like, what's happening? I'm confused. You're confused? I'm confused.
Right, yeah.
It's just a lot of, again, a lot of cool moments.
Sure.
That overall don't amount to anything that's worth being like, man, the entire thing was cool.
I would have to agree. I would also piggyback to that and say that I wish the show was more aware of the better ideas that it had, because every time I see a flicker of that, especially in this finale, I gotta be like, oh my God, where was this enthusiasm? Where was this great momentum earlier on in the season? Or like, at least paid off in a better way. Yeah. Because all of these things, these small things in a vacuum, ideas, not exactly fully executed, but I enjoyed, and like everything on paper could work, but it didn't. Yeah. And ultimately, I liked this finale. I did quite a bit. But after a season of a lot of ups and downs, it kind of just careened off and landed the plane just barely to me.
I had a eureka moment.
Mm.
Eureka. Mm-hmm. We kept saying throughout the season that the show needed to do more and actually needed to do less.
Probably. You could be right.
The show needed less characters. We haven't thought about Yord or the little girl with the dude who was the horns. We haven't thought about, what was the little girl with the horns name?
Jackie.
We haven't thought about Jackie. The dead, his deal. One of these most standout shows, one of those standout scenes in this entire show is him fighting all those Jedi.
Yeah. Yes.
I can make an argument you didn't need that.
That's crazy.
So listen to me. Okay. So I think the real problem to me in the show is not the ideas. It's the selection of the ideas and the melding of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's two or three shows happening at the same time.
Yep. Yeah. Yes,
and they
yes.
didn't tell one of those stories.
Mm-hmm.
If they'd have told a story where it's May and Osha trying to find out that they're actually the same person created by this incredible act of the Force, mm-hmm. and you have masters on each side
mm-hmm.
trying to pull them and use them for what you need them for, that would have been fantastic. It would have been smaller. Yeah. But it would have been full of mm-hmm. opportunities.
You can make
to
that richer. You can mine that or right. a bit more. Yeah.
But we got Yord. We got big, huge things. The guy, the senator that shows up here.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he show up
in the last episode? Like in the last episode of the show, that backdrop of the Jedi suppressing this because they're under
scrutiny from the Senate is incredibly interesting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so if that had come earlier, that would have given you some more tension as to why they're moving the way that they're moving. But that time was used up with May going back, killing all the Jedi from the incident on Brendok, which at the end of the day, guys, didn't mean very much in this show.
Right.
Not at all.
But if it was, but like, again, if you change gears, if you like switch the focus of the show over to a Jedi like Sol, who's very emotional, seemingly beloved by his pupils and all those things, who loses control, does a terrible thing, makes a terrible mistake, and then dedicates his whole life to trying to amend that mistake to the one person that he owes that to, or he feels that he owes that to, and having to confess that terrible thing to his student, that's a compelling show too. But again, it's getting pulled in so many directions that it's not focused enough.
When I looked at it, I was like, oh, well, the things that the show does are really, they're really cool. It does cool stuff, but it didn't tell a cool story. It does cool stuff. Like the show, you're looking at it, it's almost like a Zack Snyder movie. Like there's cool stuff happening.
Yeah, hey,
I could tell you on some Zacks, that's some cool stuff.
No, yeah,
Batman driving around in a Batmobile.
I'll tell you what.
Killing 67 people. Batman in the little warehouse.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's great.
Batman in the warehouse.
Yes. Stop. Stop bringing up the warehouse.
That was great. No, that was great.
No, it's fine. Come on, you didn't like the Batman in the
warehouse. I did, but that's the only y'all just like, yo, but the warehouse scene. All right, a movie's more than one scene.
I know, but if you have one scene.
Warehouse scene.
Can we get back to Spider-Man?
Can I say that it was dope?
It was dope.
You like it. Mm-hmm. Why is it so hard? Why do you hold in the... What are they saying, Wolf of Wall Street? Why do you hold it in? You hold in the positive things. Let it out. You like the warehouse scene. You like Batfleck. Say it. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Question. You have Amandla Steinberg.
Mm-hmm.
She's playing Ocean May. Mm-hmm.
Did not work.
No. And that's okay.
Let me tell you what I'm saying. I am so happy that they just didn't do the Tyler Durden thing and realize that was one actual full person.
That would have been really hard.
That would have been bad. And I'm very glad that that didn't happen. I was very afraid that it was.
Yeah. So, look, you guys. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. In society right now, a lot of it is about picking teams.
Okay. Sure.
And you don't want to be on the bad team.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know where this is going.
But the performance didn't work. And if that's the performance that had to anchor the show, that's probably... It worked better towards the second half of this episode.
But it wasn't... I'll say this. It wasn't on Amandla. Like,
I don't think so. I've seen her in a bunch of things. She's really good, but...
The story did not give her anything to do.
May is not nearly as developed as a character as Osha actually is, because May more or less feels incidental to what actually happens with her sister. Like, every single time that, like, anything important would seem to happen, it's because of Osha and not May. After the switch happens, mm-hmm. from Master to Apprentice to when, like, she goes off to with the Stranger and, like, begins her seduction and training, like, May completely feels incidental to all of this. And only to get the confession out of Sol is really all that we have.
Yeah, I don't... What was May's purpose? I mean, I know why she was there.
Yes, but it only was a thin purpose to offset for what that
It's kind of like who you were talking about with the boys last episode, where you need characters to do this and serve the purpose. May, that's what ultimately it felt like May was there for, just to have Osha be like, oh, I had a sister. Oh, she died. Oh, she's back. Like, she just was there for plot reasons. Like, what did May gain from this, right?
Most of the characters were that. Like, Kamir is... the standout character. Yes. Manny was the standout performance. By the end of this episode, I'm like, what was his deal? What was he doing? Like, he almost was like sidelined in a lot of ways.
In the finale, he definitely was.
And I was just like, it almost just kind of felt like he was like, no, besides like the fight and everything, just story-wise, I was like, why is he here? What is he doing? Yeah. They're revealing this connection that he has to Vernestra at the last minute. And I'm just like playing back, all right, why is he killing the Jedi? Why does he want Osha so much? When you put the Plagueis shit in there, my mind starts... But to me, that's almost a more interesting show than what we got.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also kind of a damning thing, where I was just like, the minute you weren't focusing on Manny and everything that was going on with the Sith, I was like, who fucking cares?
It's actually kind of... it's kind of nuts how the show without Manny is like, I don't want to say like one of the worst Star Wars shows you've ever seen. That's not fair. But legitimately like dull and boring and just completely forgettable.
I wouldn't entirely say that.
I would say that. I absolutely would say
that. What are we talking? Really?
Be for real. So for real right now.
I think at least as far as the like, the turn from Soul near the end here was compelling to me. I found Soul to be a very interesting character that not fully executed on like in the best way.
Yeah.
But I think that the idea of somebody who is like genuinely like affectionate and nice and wholesome and very in touch with his emotions to the detriment of being a Jedi, that he turns into something that is actually really, really bad.
That's actually a good point.
Now hold on. I have to call out the elephant in the room here.
Boy. Soul's got a weird taste.
Steve has compassion for the backstory of a cop that's seen himself. Steve is probably looking at the GoFundMe. I'd have got it.
I am not donating to Soul's GoFundMe.
The guy didn't mean it.
Here's the thing.
He's $10 for so that the left can't come after the police in this country.
Is there a Jedi thin blue line?
Vernestra did the nasty shit. Whereas, like, you got the white serial killer. They're like, he was a compassionate man. He loved his family and his kids. He just did a wrong thing. And I was like,
What do you think the picture they put on like Space Twitter was?
Oh God, his happy soul.
Then at
his graduation photo.
Then at the same time, she did some typical dirty cop shit.
Exactly. Y'all, oh, yeah.
Hold on.
God.
Y'all, that was
nuts.
She almost said, like, Star Wars. Look, I get it. We're supposed to look at the Jedi through a different lens. Y'all understand what y'all doing? Y'all are destroying the Jedi. Y'all went from the Jedi being the only thing that can save the whole galaxy to they basically the LAPD in 96.
Damn.
You know what I mean? You've completely destroyed the Jedi. It's crazy.
Which is interesting narratively to do.
I will say this about Soul, though, and I think it is interesting how the show positions emotions and feelings, mm-hmm. right? We're supposed to think like only dark, you know, nasty emotions can lead you to do things awry.
Yeah.
But Soul's trying to be helpful. He's in his own way trying to be nice, like really cares about, like in his way cares about Osha, and that leads him to a path of destruction.
And again, when he finally confesses to Osha, I got to give it up to Lee Jong-jae. He's like really, really acting his ass off with like trying to like stop justifying it to himself and just be real and be like, I fucked up.
I was watching something different. It never really got there for me.
Okay. It did for me. I think that it did for me.
It never made sense.
It was fine. I'll say this. Two things. Number one, back to what'd you just say, Jomie, about
the emotions, like, so, you know, the dark side is always like,
I'll say something about the dark side. Almost everyone that we know besides Palpatine, who was born bad, just born bad.
Mm-hmm.
From the jump.
Palpatine felt that he had the Force in him, and then he goes, "Oh my God!"
and
he just started fucking over people. a lot of the ways that they corrupt you is by using a very close emotional connection that you have to someone.
Yeah,
that we would say was good, right? So yeah. Skywalker didn't want his mother to die. His mother died, should I say? And he didn't want his wife to die. Yeah. So that emotion, that attachment that you feel. It's not, I wouldn't say it's good, but it's almost always human that they use to corrupt you. They take mm-hmm. something that you want. I mean, obviously, in the case of Palpatine, it was just like he wanted just abject power. He just wanted to be absolute power, shall I say. Mm-hmm. He wanted to have that. But a lot of the times for people that you have to, you know, come around the back door, it's going to be something that we would think is positive. And Soul here, not just his attachment, but his guilt.
Yeah.
This is another reason why they don't want any attachment, because attachment in and of itself leads to jealousy. Mm-hmm. It leads to guilt, like, you know, envy. It leads to ambition. It leads to all of these things that, if channeled right, can be great things. But for someone that you don't want to feel too passionate about something and give over to the dark side, it almost always corrupts
people. I mean, but isn't that what the senator, and I like, this is why I feel like the senator character did not work, but it illuminated a lot about what the series was trying to do. Is that, like, the senator even says it, like, you guys run away from your emotions. You say that you don't, either you can control them and all this stuff, and that even in itself is a fallacy. If you look at pretty much everything that's happened in Star Wars, it's because that the Jedi don't really accept their emotions. It's because they try to run away from it that they end
up. Give me an example of that.
So Obi-Wan Kenobi pretty much through the entire, honestly, the entire prequels, his relationship with Anakin is so fraught because he can never really have the important conversations with him. Mm. Like, he tries to, especially in those movies.
Yeah.
But it's just like there's that jealousy. There's that not measuring up. Where it's just like,
you think Kenobi is jealous of Skywalker?
No. I think Anakin is jealous of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Certainly, yeah.
And in a lot of ways. And instead of them ever having that conversation, like, Qui-Gon could have that conversation with Anakin, but Obi-Wan was too close. They were like brothers. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of times that is what kind of we're litigating is, if the Jedi are more honest with their emotions, does that make them a better force in the galaxy?
Qui-Gon was ridiculously honest. He had only one allegiance, only one thing, which was the living force, the will of the force. When the Jedi had become bureaucrats, Qui-Gon felt the calling of the living force telling him to do something. And he would even say that to Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan was a little bit more straight-laced.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan was a company man. He'd say Obi-Wan has much to learn of the living force. However, he's got everything he needs to become a really, really important Jedi. I think he became the most important Jedi in the history of the Jedi, at least what we've seen. I do. I think Obi-Wan Kenobi's...
There couldn't possibly be another podcast that references any of this, but...
I'm just saying. Anyway, but it... What I'm saying is that whereas a lot of the Jedi are still slaves to their connections, I do think that what we always see is the moment that the Jedi stop being moved by the Force and the structure of the actual organization, they start to put that above everything else. That's when we start to see them fail. Like, the whole thing is, to me, the whole failing of the Jedi is about them not remembering what they're doing it for. And really, when we talk about huge organizations, that's normally what we're talking about, right? The edict of the police in society is very clear. Protect and serve. Enforce the Constitution. Enforce people's right. But when the cops start caring, I don't want to dive too deep into this. We live. We get a whole bunch of badges in the chat. when the cops start caring too much about the cops, that's actually when they start to fail.
Right.
When it becomes about their structures, their rules, how they look at things, what they think, that's when it stops becoming about the citizen, when it stops becoming about the law, when it stops becoming about protecting and serving, that's when you see them start to fail. And that's what you see.
Can I ask you this then?
Yeah.
Does the Yoda cameo at the end work? Because it left me with a lot of questions.
I wonder what Jomi thinks, because Jomi let out a audible groan when the Yoda thing came out.
Oh, I was not happy. I literally
looked back and you were shaking your head.
I mean, was like, come on.
We were this close to greatness.
No, I knew it was going to happen.
So close.
They couldn't help themselves.
Yeah,
you they do it every show. They did it in you guys' beloved Andor. They gave you the Death Star at the end.
No. Yeah, but the Death Star is different.
The Death Star makes sense.
No.
It's the exact same thing.
It's not.
There was no reason.
She didn't go, hey, Death Star, I need to talk to you.
That's exactly what they did.
No.
Are y'all?
It's Cassian Andor.
I'm about to fucking quote Clueless. Are you bitches blind?
It's different because Cassian Andor's whole thing is getting the plans for the Death Star. Like, we were attacking him literally. Yeah.
The Jedi whole thing is that Yoda is the Grand Master.
But here's why it doesn't work.
It's the same thing.
This is why I don't like
it. I'm not saying it works. I'm just saying there's
always a member barrier.
They're going to do that. It's a thing.
Yeah, but even story-wise. So my question is, if Yoda does know about all this shit, you know what I'm saying? Like,
he's an old man, you forget. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's been through a lot of battles. He definitely got CTE. Like, it's tough.
But make it make sense to me, because in the prequels, he's like, oh my gosh, how is this all happening? I'm like, motherfucker,
To be fair, we don't know what he told. What she told him.
But season two, baby.
But here's the thing. If Yoda is who we know he is, you know what I'm saying? You're telling me he could not sense?
You guys. Let's we gotta move Yoda's badges around. Like,
is memory not what
we do? Yoda is dope. Yoda is dope.
Okay.
He is dope, right? But
he'd be forgetting sometimes.
Not he'd be forgetting sometimes. Yoda had the most powerful Sith Lord, and he took meetings with this motherfucker.
Yeah, that's true. He reached across the aisle a couple of times.
There's some gaps.
He really did.
There's some gaps.
He took
there.
A lot of meetings.
You know? It's kind of like when I used to be in those meetings with Puff. And like,
stop. No! God, stop. Stop.
Were you going. There? Why would you do that?
And he was right there.
You know we're live.
Man.
What would you? We don't. Oh!
All right.
He was right there. All right. I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it.
We're flowing. We're flowing.
Power
through
it. It's live. Let's go.
Right there.
Stop.
So what I'm saying is, you know, there is something that I think we put a little bit too much on Yoda.
That's nasty cope.
Whoa. All right. So let's just, in this entire series, like, let's go over it. The Virgins created an entire motherfucker. So an Anakin level event.
Yeah.
Right? Then you got a Sith, you got an old Padawan who washes an entire starting bench of Jedi. Just
That was like G League starters.
Those are Jedi Knights.
Come on. But if we're being clear, he was a Padawan. So when he left the Order, it's like, you're telling me he's now powerful enough. And like Yoda's like,
He's been being trained. Yeah. He's gotten better.
All I'm saying is, if he's that powerful in the Force, don't you think that like Yoda be like, damn, there are mad disturbances going on right now.
Okay, but not to his credit, him and Palpatine was dapping each other up, and he didn't sense that. So
but here's the thing: this is Yoda in his prime.
Sure,
this is Yoda at the height of his power.
But all I'm saying is, all the rest of the guys didn't see it either.
No, yeah,
Windu didn't see it. The crazy nigga with the long ass head. What's his name?
Oh,
Oh my God! Yeah, we picked him for our basketball team.
He didn't see it.
But also here's the thing. This is what also was bothering me about the show, about Acolyte. They was giving motherfuckers powers and taking them away. It was just like Renesha gets on the planet. She's just
I can see everything that's
happened on Brendok ever. I'm like, what? Same thing with Sol. Sol can read people's minds when it's convenient. Across the entire planet.
But well, are you comparing Sol to the Sol of the past? Because he would have developed more Force powers as becoming.
No. I'm more so just saying for the entire show, sometimes they're like, the Jedi can read minds across the planet. They can understand shit that happened in the past just by being on this planet. All this other bullshit. But then when it's like, all right, then how is this Sith? How did no one in the entire history of all of this ever bring up Kamir?
There's
very inconsistent ways in which Jedi use and don't use the Force to detect things. Like, there's no reason that Sol shouldn't have known who Mei or Osha was. He should have known the difference, but
here's the thing, though. He, at the point that he couldn't tell them apart, he was disconnected from the Force. He had given over to the darkness. Look, if y'all don't want to fucking go by the Force rules, it's the Force rules.
They make stuff up all the time.
Sol is disconnected from the Force, so he can't read a motherfucker's mind. But this motherfucker can be the baddest Jedi and take out Kamir?
So here's the deal. Passion actually helps you fight better. Mace Windu actually taps into the dark side of Do you want to know the knowledge or not?
That's true.
Mace Windu actually taps into the dark side a little bit when he's using his vape pad or whatever it is. But what I'm saying is,
I need the chat to fact check this.
What I'm saying is that seriously though, I do think that part of the reason why he couldn't. He was having trouble keeping up with who that was because he was a little disconnected.
And
he was feeling a lot of feelings that were cutting him off from being able to detect things in the Force.
And in that halfway episode, a lot of those red shirt Jedis were like, I don't understand how this guy fights. Like, his movements are too erratic. He's too emotional and all these. Like, merely because of his fighting style, like, just took them for a ride that they couldn't.
Well, they had never seen that before.
Yeah, they'd never seen it before.
If we're going to be positive, though, lightsaber fights in this one.
Lightsaber fight in the show is incredible.
Great.
That's actually what makes me, I think, a little bit more sad and mad, because I was like looking at the lightsaber fights. I'm like,
this one was great too.
This one was awesome.
It's like literally one of the best lightsaber fights we've seen in Star Wars.
When he airbends those like things away, it was great.
I'll tell you something.
Good.
There is when you don't know how somebody's gonna fight, it does fuck you up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Where they're like, when they start doing that, like capoeira, like wobbling. I'm like, what is that?
The what? Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Let's see.
What's that Brazilian dance fighting? What was that?
Capoeira. You fought somebody that broke out some capoeira on you? What the fuck are you talking about?
No, but I've seen videos on the internet of people like getting into a fight and then like somebody just squares up like normal and they just start doing this. Oh. And then that guy's like, all right, I can't do this.
And you felt their fear.
Yes. Because I'm like, oh, if you're doing this, I don't even know what you're going to do.
Because they made a whole movie about that. Yeah, like Steve going down to Brazil.
I was doing cage fights in Rio. Yes, that was my
This is Brazil. Oh, you're on your Brazil
type thing. Now, we had a dude in Baton Rouge. He was biracial.
And why does that have to do with anything?
Why start with that?
Because we didn't expect it from him.
Oh, okay.
And he would fight. And when he would fight, I hope he's still living. niggas get killed. Like, somebody probably. Like,
people die every day,
I remember one time, like, he would do like this.
That's his stance?
That's what he would do. And he would shake his shit. And he'd do his shit and he would shake his fist around.
That's a dance Kodak Black did.
Shout out to Barclay Place. We're in Barclay Place in Baton Rouge. And I'm like, God damn, this nigga Jason about to get his ass kicked. And he starts whooping the hell out of this nigga.
With the stance like this.
Yeah, because he didn't know really what to do. You trying to get in there and it was like, boom, 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 boom. Rhythm punch. Boom, boom, boom.
Rhythm punch.
He was getting off.
Like he's throwing dice.
You didn't know what to do. You guys, what's going on? And what I mean, what's going on?
That's a good question.
When I say what's going on, I mean, so Ocean made the same person. There's a Virgins on the planet.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
For a lot of the stuff that I've read and been keeping up with is somehow this story with Ocean May is going to lend itself to how Anakin Skywalker was born. Because if Darth Plagueis is in fact the creature in the cave,
which what the fuck? Why?
We don't know. But anybody. If Darth Plagueis is in fact the creature in the cave, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Then his ability to you guys, I'm not saying it was Darth Plagueis. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is the ability to create life in the Force. Skywalker, the creation of Anakin, mm-hmm, Skywalker, could actually be the Force responding to the creation, sure, of Ocean.
It's the balance, like, yeah, reset.
So,
like,
so, I mean, all of this stuff is just because I watch too much Star Wars YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, what is the show trying to say with the fact that they are the same person? Mm-hmm. Now they are disconnected. May doesn't remember Ocean. They've switched places.
Yes.
I think they thought that by the time they got to this point, that all of these revelations and things would be revelatory.
Yeah.
But they're kind of just confusing.
I mean, even the worst things that this finale did are memberries and feeding us into a season two that may or may not happen.
Baby.
But like, if you have Nosferatu in a cave that anybody doesn't know, like that could be anything. We don't know what that is.
Darth Jar Jar.
Sure. Oh man, I wish
that'd be cool.
But If we don't know that, or if that's not like lent to anything, and it's just in minute 10 of your finale and never addressed ever again, I'm really bewildered as to what your goals are for like wrapping the story.
They obviously think there's going to be a season two because they set it up for it. I mean, they got to make it now,
which kind of infuriates me because if you can't
tease like a
they have to make the season,
which to me is the biggest annoyance that shows like this do, where I'm like, can you just tell an A to B story from one season and like, sure, you can tease something, but like have an actual like resolution, because I don't feel like this is resolved really.
Well, no, they left you on a cliffhanger.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
a cliffhanger I don't give a fuck about.
Okay,
that's fair.
See, now that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't necessarily trying to resolve the season. They were trying to pull new threads for you. The question is, do you care? That's
yeah. Well, because I think this was the moment where I was like, oh, they thought we were really going to care by this point. When Osha takes Sol's lightsaber, which is like metaphorically works because it's her old master's lightsaber. She never got to be a Jedi. She bleeds the crystal. I think they thought emotionally we would have been so invested in Osha's journey at this point that we're like, no, not Osha. And I'm like,
wait, but you didn't, when she first showed them, that was fucking amazing.
Okay, that was pretty crazy.
The way they do it too, because you don't know who's doing it at first.
I want to hear Charles.
Somebody else.
You don't.
And then you see it's her.
Yeah.
So you cut me off with my point last episode. Now
had
this.
To, had to go.
What were you doing? Where'd you have to go?
Had to go do another podcast.
Well, we're here now.
I mean, they got on your ass. Yeah,
they did.
They got on your ass about the robe.
I apologize. Oh, what you mean? What do you mean about the robe?
I saw somebody on Twitter getting at you like, it's so disrespectful. You showing up in a robe to your...
Oh, my God.
I'm gonna put my dick out next time. Okay. Yeah. I'm serious, man. I'm serious. I'm sick of this shit. Like, I'm telling you, I'm sick of this shit.
You putting your meat in?
I'm sick of everybody.
Excuse you?
Look, I'm sick of this shit. Jomi, I apologize. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's fine.
Let Jomi finish his point. But, hey, man, I wear a robe on the podcast. Rachel has worn a robe on the podcast several times. And nobody has sit to show. I'm serious. I just feel like I'm a punching bag and for no reason. Like, Alea, you remember when Rachel wore a podcast on Higher Learning?
A podcast?
A robe on Higher Learning. Nobody said nothing. You know what they said? Oh, my God. The robe looks so good on her. Yes, queen. And like, and for me, it's like, why don't you take your shit more seriously, motherfucker? Be a man.
This
Fuck
is
y'all.
Literally the Lizzo and Rick Ross.
Flirting versus harassment.
Jomi, right. What were you saying, Jomi?
No, the way they do it in the episode is really cool because you don't know who's first choking her at first. And so Kamir, you pass him and he's like, oh, no.
I don't know.
And you think maybe it's Vanessa or or the evil guy. And you see it, and it's Ocean. She's got the finger. She's doing the first choke. I thought the way they did in the episode was pretty cool. I don't know if that moment meant something to me emotionally, but watching it was affecting. Like, that's pretty cool.
I really felt it because it was at a point where he was genuinely regret. He seemed genuinely regretful about what he did, and was like, he said, last thing he says is, "It's okay."
It is a
like he understands.
Steve, you gotta.
Come on, bro.
I made a joke about the cop shit, but now it's getting.
No, I'm not. I don't think it's getting a little crazy.
Come on, bro.
It's getting a little crazy now. He killed their mama.
I understand. No. I'm not saying it's fine. I'm not
he
saying it's fine.
Mama,
I don't want to know.
I don't give a fuck.
I don't want to know other murders. I don't want them knowing that.
Oh, no, no, soul. And then soul turns to me. He's like, but you started the fire.
When she was choking him out, I was like, yeah, it's time for you to go.
Yeah,
like, give me the lefty. Give me the lefty out the bullpen. It's time for you to go. But you didn't think the force choke moment, that moment didn't. She force choked him. She turned sense. She bled the Kyber right in front of us. It didn't do anything.
That was great.
Come, because it's a thing. Like I said, there's so much that this show gets right that it's like the Kyber crystal, the bleeding the Kyber crystal should be the moment where just for that character, for Osha, I am heartbroken. Oh, she's on the dark side. She wanted nothing more to be a Jedi. And at the moment, she has to kill her own master, a father figure, all this shit. I'm like, that should be an emotional gut punch.
I see what she's talking about.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like,
something that happened.
Yeah, and it was like, it was cool. Like, I can't lie. I'm a Star Wars fan. So when the blade started turning red, I'm just like, there's that part of your brain, you're like, damn. But it didn't give, all right, perfect example. It didn't give me the feeling of like Anakin and Obi-Wan on Mustafar, where it's like the fight is cool.
No, it's just, there's just so much history there.
It's
though,
like three
you know?
Movies.
But here's the thing.
Really six.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like so much history.
But how many episodes did we get? 10 of this?
Yeah. I agree.
At the end of the eighth episode, I'm not saying I need to feel like Mustafar is to your point.
Yeah.
But I should feel a little bit like, damn, a little bit when Qui-Gon is killed by Darth Maul.
Okay.
I was like, even that's as a good kid, example. I was like, God damn.
Because that's actually a great example. Mm. Because even though that movie wasn't great, when Qui-Gon got killed and Obi-Wan had to watch him drop right there, you felt it.
Mm-hmm. And when McGregor is like, he's charging and he's mad, even as a kid, I was like, oh, he lost his
master. Oh, he's so mad, yeah.
Oh my gosh, he loved this. And I didn't get that kind of emotional thing because I even should have felt for Soul, even though, like, I'm glad he got God. I should have been like, damn, he went out like this, getting fork chokes, choked by his Padawan. I just didn't feel that.
I felt it a little bit, but yeah.
I mean, you know what else I did? Not only did I not feel this, can y'all explain this to me? What the fuck was this shit when Maze like to Osha, Osha, what do you want? And then Kamir's...
It just doesn't. It didn't work.
When Kamir's like, I can wipe her. I was like, oh, what?
I'm never... I'm never on the side of just new shit in the last scene. I could wipe her mind and she won't remember nothing. I'm like, I don't know, nigga.
You may as well. No, like, for real, honestly, I don't want to live like that.
This theory's been around, though. They mentioned it in one of the episodes about, like, wiping memories and stuff. This is not a new thing.
Here's the thing. For May to agree, essentially, to get all of her memories wiped for her life, except when she was 8, and then for OSHA to be like, yeah, I agree, that's exactly what we should do.
That's nuts.
That's like, I'm like, why didn't OSHA just run away with May?
Or, like, if they're really that evil, they'd have just killed her.
Who'd have just killed her?
I think wiping her memory is way better than killing her.
To not remember anything in your life when you were 8 years old?
Wait. Who would have killed her, though? The Jedi?
No, not the Jedi. Stranger.
Stranger and OSHA.
And OSHA would have killed her.
I don't know that... By the time we get to the end of the show, the Stranger's motivations are completely unclear.
I'll just be a little bit.
He was hot and he fought good with sabers.
We know that he wanted an acolyte. He wanted somebody to train.
Yeah.
We don't quite know why.
We would have thought that senator who was basically giving an entire manifesto for the Sith in a senator's suit would have had something to do with
We don't really know. I don't think that. I mean, at the end of the reason why she doesn't kill her sister is because she loves her sister.
Yeah.
She doesn't kill her sister because she loves her. She doesn't want to kill her.
Why wipe her memory and effectively, like, lobotomize her till 8 years old?
No, wipe her memory so that she can't lead. She may allows OSHA to make her decision. To your point, Charles, this is supposed to hit harder because she didn't let her do it when they were on Brendan.
Right.
The first time they were on Brendan. They were on Brendan this time, too. May allows OSHA to make her decision. OSHA decides she wants to go. There's gonna be some force choking going on between her and.
All right. It's also nasty business.
I bet they do it.
When she held the stranger's hand, I'm like, he just force wiped you.
Because there's gonna be some force choking later on that night. Okay.
Do you think Plagueis is
that
in the
night?
Corner,
I don't know about that. That's a bad day.
He's like force
choke me. They're gonna be doing a little force choke, James.
Plagueis is
gonna be on the other side. What are y'all doing? He's gonna be force choking him. He loved black women. He like Robert De Niro of a galaxy far, far away.
Plagueis?
Not Plagueis. The Stranger. The Stranger. Robert De Niro never saw a black woman and he didn't want to fuck.
I'm familiar
like,
with
it,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. He tried to get two of them. He literally went from sister. He like Future.
That's all right. That's two a wild sisters, comp, space but no.
He got two sisters, bruh.
Honestly, he was trying to get both like Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown at the game. Soul is Bronny James.
I don't think May's a pro.
I don't think May's a pro. I don't think May's a pro. Jaylen Brown, bro. Man, stand on that shit, bro. Stand on that shit. I was talking to my girl. Ain't nobody asked you. I had a camera up in my face. I just watched a dude go 0-for-9. what I'm supposed to say? This is my thing about the Jaylen Brown thing. What if he would have said, because it could have been, what if he looked at her and said, yo, Bronny really putting the league on notice? That would have been even crazier.
That would have led SportsCenter.
Yeah,
but to be fair, do you think he did it because also he's next to two baddies and he's like, damn, this nigga ain't shit. You know, that's some shit you...
this is my thing when people say that about the two baddies thing. And I'm going to speak for myself. This is the thing. So they are two baddies, right? But I just want y'all to know that everyone that's talking about how Jaylen Brown acts around two baddies, I want people to know you are not Jaylen Brown. The way you might act around a baddie is totally different than somebody who has $300 million and is the finals MVP.
Yeah.
He probably is a little bit less affected. A little bit less affected around the baddies than you might be. I'm just saying it's a little.
This
bit,
is fair.
I don't think it's
different.
The same.
Then why do you apologize?
He apologized because he got that clutch push.
Who do you think made the call? Was it Rich Paul?
It was probably Adele herself.
Oh,
because if Rich Paul really wanted to press you, he'd have Adele make the call.
Wow.
You get a call from a singing white woman. You don't know what is this Adele. Do you think you could be nicer to the young man, Bronny James?
That's an immaculate Adele impression.
That's a great Adele impression. That's exactly how she sounds.
My name's Adele.
That's the way she sounded to me. Hey, man, shout out to Adele, man. Adele, she got away from that. Adele came straight home, man.
get.
Shout out to Adele.
Star Wars is really good today.
shout out to Adele. Adele, one of us, man.
A what?
Man, so I thought the episode did a really interesting thing where, because it did it in last week's episode and it did it in this week's episode.
When the revolution comes, we're going to have Adele like skinning rats.
Well, we're not even.
We're going to have Adele making venison jerky. You know what I mean? Adele's going to be out there.
With the Bantu knots?
Yeah. Like, after we go out hunting, after all of the information grids are gone, we're going to come back hunt, and we're going to hear a voice singing. Oh, that's Adele. We know to go north. Like, Adele's
going to be with... She's the siren?
Yeah.
She's leading the Underground Railroad? Like, what?
That's what I'm talking about.
Jesus Christ. No, but seriously, the episode, I mean, and again, the episode, their mother said the same thing last week. And the senator said it again this week. Basically the same thing, which is like, what the Jedi are doing is going to lead to their downfall. They are, like, it's not as bad as the boys with their, like, whole thing. But it's very heavy-handed in the way the show's, like, the way you guys are acting now is why you guys fall.
Yeah.
Why
we can draw Vader, a straight line from this behavior now to episode 3.
Yeah, and again, I think we talked about it a little bit, but... Like, this is, we've never, like, the show was supposed to be like, oh, man, the Jedi and their heyday, they're doing great things. The Jedi, I think, are always fallible. Like, that's the thing we're learning. Like, at no point.
Yeah, they've been fallible forever.
No. That's what I'm saying, though. There is no, man, the Jedi was out there, they was killing it, bro. Every time we see them, it's like, oh, you're going worse and worse down until we hit Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is, ultimately.
Do you guys think the show betrayed itself a little bit by framing itself as a murder mystery and not quite living up to the billing
1,000%
of that expectation?
Definitely.
1,000%.
Talk about it, Steve.
Because it got me thinking, I'm like, it's all structure. I think my biggest problem with the entire show is structure. The way that episodes are ordered, the way information is delved out to the audience that we are meant to understand in certain ways only to be obfuscated or changed at the, like, 10-yard line when we're supposed to be, worried about how other things are supposed to be resolved. It gets very frustrating because a lot of the things that get this that are doing well in the show constantly undercut it. And, again, like you said before, it's trying to do too many things because when we had a murder mystery that was kind of compelling, it then immediately hit the brakes for a Jedi massacre that was like one of the craziest things we've ever seen. And our main villain is now giving us an entire indictment of the Jedi from a philosophical standpoint. Like, all right, great. Now we're off to the races. Stop. We're going to give you another flashback about what actually happened on Brendok. And Sol's going to not figure out who Mei is. Well, fuck. Okay. What are we going to do for the next episode? Well, we're probably going to do like skirt around the same thing again, but make sure that the Jedi that are now on their tail figure out the same information that you found out last episode. Okay, well, what about the finale? The finale is going to fix half of that and then tease something for a season 2 we don't know is going to be coming. It's all structure. If we had known certain things in better order and maybe we cut out half of this story and actually cook for the things that it was getting right, we'd have had one of the better shows in Star Wars history.
It's not really funny, but it's kind of funny. Is when he's about to tell them that they're not actually twins, that they're just like one person split in half.
Yeah.
And she socks them. And I'm like, I've been doing that all season.
I'm like, the episode begins with a conversation that if that conversation was just like 10 minutes longer, that could have replaced an entire episode prior.
10 minutes longer.
Yeah. If the flashback episode on Brendok was the episode prior, it ended up being like a 10-minute conversation of them just arguing back and forth about who saw like what happened when, that would have been A, more compelling, B, saved us an entire episode to watch.
Chuck, what you got before I start?
I mean, I would say this. I think because you kind of brought this up. I think the bones of this series are actually fascinating to me. Mm. The fact that you have two Jedi Masters at this point, Sol and Vernestra, both coming to terms with the fact that like, oh, my student is the Sith or has turned bad, is compelling to me in a vacuum, you know, because it's just like, oh, this is actually, that's the emotional thing. Like thinking about if you're the Jedi Master that raised up a Padawan that is threatening thousands upon thousands of years of this religion. And I'm just like, say, similarly to the murder mystery, it's interesting to me being like, what happens when a Jedi Master realizes that another Force cult created an entire person with something that you're entire being with something that is the foundation of your religion. You know what I'm saying? That would be the equivalent of like you have Christian, Jewish, Muslim, whatever, and then one of them does something that is so miraculous, you're like, you start doubting everything you've been taught. I'm like, all of these are really, really interesting pockets, but you said it already. Those are all individual shows. When you try to sandwich all of that in it, I'm like, it's not really a murder mystery. It's not really a procedural. It's really not about like government politics and corruption. It's just kind of about nothing.
Mm-hmm. Also, another thing that you just mentioned, I think is interesting to tack on a little bit is, I think it's interesting that the authority of the Jedi are challenged, right? The Jedi are making the rules about what's acceptable. Like, okay, you can't make Force life. Can't do that. The witches aren't allowed to do that. They aren't allowed to use the Virgence on the planet, which I don't think was explained well enough.
Of course.
They're not allowed to use the Virgence on the planet to create that life, right? But the Jedi can come take your kids whenever they want.
Yeah.
Right? So the Jedi are where we're supposed to be asking ourselves, in addition to everything else, it's like, whose rules matter?
Yeah.
Because they're saying, hey, you can't do this. It threatens this. However, there are a lot of other things that we see them do, right, that we're wondering, well, I mean, just for us, like, you mean to tell me I'm in the house one day and my one-year-old starts moving blocks around? I'm happy for him. I'm like, oh, good for you. You're moving the blocks. Look at this little nigga go. He moving the blocks around and with his mind and everything like that. Hey, man, we need your son. Fuck all that. Mm-hmm. I don't like, no. Like you can't have him. Now I gotta run, like, I'm a guy, go get the taser. I gotta bam, 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 bam. I gotta hit you with that bitch. So we're seeing them come to terms with the fact that these witches, who the witches themselves,
nonsense.
Well, this is what I'll say: the witches themselves, they represent, I guess, defiance of what the Jedi define as the natural order.
Mm-hmm.
They represent a different way. I'm not so sure if we learned enough about them to understand why all of this was such a big deal.
True.
Because you're not supposed to do it, but the Jedi do so many things that they're not supposed to do in response to something that the witches aren't supposed to do, that it kind of leaves you like, did they make a big deal out of nothing?
I mean, even historically, the Jedi made a bunch of life. Maybe it wasn't the Force, but they made a bunch of fucking clones. Mm-hmm. So at a certain point, I'm just kind of like,
all our hands are dirty here.
Yeah, like, I'm like, they're just like, hey, not only did you make a being with the Force, this person is actually one person, but they're two people. I'm like, you guys are explaining twins. Like, you are explaining twins and clones. Like, what is... I don't understand why it was such a big deal, to be honest, because also what I was confused about is I'm like, Osha and Mei aren't that powerful in the Force. We're told they are, but they don't do anything the entire series.
They're pretty powerful.
They're pretty powerful.
But what did they do in this series to show me?
Well, she bled that Kyber.
She choked him.
Like, at the end, she intuitively taps into the dark side.
She was already
using
a Padawan.
No, but remember, she hadn't used her power in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I think it was episode 6. Like, hey, you've been out of practice, all that witch and witch.
Motherfucker, Luke was 15, 16. And
yeah, but she had been through the motions. She had formally trained as a Jedi.
Luke didn't pass.
You
know, Luke is pretty strong. Mm-hmm. Like, Luke's grandfather.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Itself.
We got to see Luke do strong shit. I didn't get to see Osha do any. You're like, she bled a Kyber crystal. I'm like, all these motherfuckers.
After some time, you know what I mean? Like, after some time, you bleed the crystal. You don't do it on the first day. After some time.
So we're saying that the only way I'm supposed to intuit that she's strong with the Force, besides characters telling me, is that
she said she was strong. Nigga, deal with it. I'm sick of your shit.
The helmet that she just did to Chimera was, like, pretty nuts.
She's pure Force. I don't know.
She ain't do no pure Force shit.
What'd you
she did
see
the witch thing to Chimera in this episode.
I'm asking Charles, like, what you feel,
if you
feel
are
like they should have sold
being,
it more.
Like,
yeah,
all right,
I get it.
I can tell that Anakin is a being of the Force because, look, he's flipping over shit. He's incredible. Entire.
So you wanted
fucking,
her to be like a Damien Omen kid?
I wanted one because he's like, because here's the thing, Kamir is like, May don't got it. Osha, you got it. And I'm like, wait, Osha, show me that you have it.
Play the music. Play the music. Play the music. It's interesting. Anakin, so, yeah. And Luke do it. It's cool. But,
wow.
But man, when women do it,
it's...
Whoa.
Yeah. That's
nuts.
Yeah.
Not with women. Black women do it.
Wow. All right, when you guys are done, can I...
Wow. No.
When you guys are done, can you
let me finish? We're not going to... The question is, we're not going to be done. We're not going to be done till you've changed.
So what I think is interesting. What I think is interesting.
What you're doing is you're overpowering us now. As
no, but what I think is no. What did I say? Honesty to the electorate right now. What I think
us.
Is
we're trying to come to you and tell you that what you just did was talked about how the white man shows his power.
So you're telling me
shows her power.
You're telling me that we can have white men throughout the history of Star Wars doing dope ass shit, flipping over people, fucking. Cutting down all armies, and I'm like, damn, it would be nice for Amandla to get to do some of that.
A sister bleeds a copper crystal is not enough for you.
I would like to see her do some dope shit.
Choke somebody, not enough for you. What you start, want to start torturing?
Would I like her to be as much of a superhero as the other people?
Yes. Is she, what you want her to do? Get it sexy? Huh? Ice Spice?
She can't fight Kamir.
Why would she do that? They on the same team.
They're the same squad.
Kamir is literally like, if you don't come with me, I'm going to kill your sister. He should be like, bitch.
And by the way, I'll tell you, Kamir is a very good fuckboy name.
Who is that on your phone?
Literally,
oh, it's just Kamir.
Literally, Kamir. Literally, think about his name. It's literally Kamir.
It's Kamir.
Like, that's the type of shit you tell Kamir. A girl. And what's your name? Kamir. What's your name? Kamir. No, that's my name for real, girl, because my daddy... My daddy knew that's why I was going
to tell. Alea's laughing because if Bae Jacinto did that to her, it'd be working.
Yeah,
it would work.
My daddy knew that I was going to tell.
Honestly,
you. Honestly,
if we're being real.
Here. I'm Kamir, girl. Kamir.
Kamir.
Dan, you was on LA, Kamir shit if with the bathroom.
If he's from LA, this is how I would stand. Because this is how from niggas, LA, niggas from LA stand.
Oh, bro.
They stand like this. Hey, girl, Kamir. Kamir. All of that. And they throw it up. Anyway. I get what you're saying. This is a show that displays a lot of Force powers. I do think at the end, what we were supposed to see, if it didn't work, it didn't work. I'm serious. What we were supposed to see was that she intuitively displays a Force skill, a dark side skill, but a Force skill, that she hadn't been taught. Like, she intuitively does it. She intuitively bleeds the crystal. It's similar. I'm not saying the same thing because this character is definitely a character that they went out of their way to demonstrate her power. It's similar in a little bit to Rey. Everything that Rey did in Force Awakens was intuitive.
Yeah.
It was reflexive. She didn't even know what she was doing. Like, she naturally resists Kylo Ren, right? She naturally does this. She doesn't even know what she was doing. The Force, she was so, her strength was so raw that it's like, oh my God. Now, they did do a better job, to your point, of letting us see that. I think they were trying to do that at the end with Osha. And maybe they just, to be honest with you, didn't do a good enough job of selling it. Maybe they didn't. All right, guys, let me ask you this. Last talking point before we get out of here. By the way, pew pew's in the chat. Pew pews in the chat.
You can't let him have this kind of power, guys. You really can't.
We want to see him, guys. Pew pews.
If Ben can make people do things, he'll make them.
I've been watching some of that stuff.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't do a lot of social shit. I would like to do that, like Miles Morales shit, when he starts like yelling at people.
I thought you meant the apology video. It's like, listen, I made a mistake.
the TikTok stuff where you just like being an MCC. Oh my god, dude.
That's a bad crash out. That was really bad.
You got a lot of money.
Bro. I show Speed that dude crash out. He be crashing out. He funny.
He crash out all the time. That's his whole
thing. Funny.
Love him more.
Like, bro,
he just yells at people.
He be like just going around. I might start doing that type of shit.
Please don't.
NPC stream?
Nah, I got it.
I want to do that IRL shit.
I don't, but here's the thing I don't like. Because he be going to another country and just start doing backflips. I'm like, just don't start doing backflips for everybody. Like, just
some of them other countries. Woke that motherfucker up. He was trying to buy that car from that guy. That guy was like, you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
And he was trying to buy that car from that guy. That guy don't know how much money Osho Speed got. He was looking at Osho Speed like he was Osho
Blackie. Like he didn't know how much money he had. He'd never seen it before. I show Niglet.
Can we get to the midnight meter?
Midnight meter, please.
All right, well, before we get to the midnight meter, before. Okay. They're obviously they want to do another season of The Acolyte. The story, it ends with our story ends with we see Master Yoda, we see a new connection made between a master and apprentice. We see a lot of threads that are untied. We're going to do the Midnight Meter in a different way. Okay, let's do Midnight Meter. Rating of how much you want season two of The Acolyte.
No.
Oh, boy.
No.
Because that's going to be more negative.
Yeah, let's.
That's going to be.
What do you mean? We're going to do it.
We're going to do it both ways?
Yeah, we can do it both ways.
Okay.
Do it both ways.
Okay.
Scale from 1 to 12.
No, scale 1 to 10. Just 1 to 10.
1 to 10 for our wants.
How interested are you in another season of The Acolyte?
Here's the thing. If they can fix Missaria in season two of House of the Dragon, I feel like they could probably take notes about what we liked about The Acolyte. I really do like I think it just justified its existence. I really think so.
Okay.
That show's got great ideas. And I really like to see them like come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
But a showing like this, like me wanting a second season, like it's 50-50. It like I would give it a 5.
Okay.
Like I could take it or leave it.
Jummy?
Really.
To Steve's point, if they, you know, look at the feedback, you know, they go to their year-end review, and they like
Charles is exhausted, guys.
Charles is disgusted,
and they look at all the cool, like, all right, hey, this was cool, hey, mm-hmm. This is whack. Don't bring this back. You know what I'm saying? They do all the cool
tell
stuff.
A story in order, maybe.
Yeah, they do.
Live, so motherfuckers can see right now.
I like y'all some of the just stuff they did.
Yeah,
if they just continue to do that stuff. Yeah, it's probably like a 6. Like, I'll be there. Chuck, mm-hmm. You know?
Bro, they lucky I don't give it a 0. Like a 2. It's
a 2.
Okay.
Know, here's the thing. I don't know. If this costs, like, what, $250, you know, to make probably.
Jeremy, look it up. How much did it cost?
To make this whole show?
I just.
Yeah, to make the show.
Oh, boy.
Let's just donate it. And here's the thing. I will say, like.
Donate it?
You know? Like,
now
the thing,
we're just getting into. All right.
What?
This guy is something else, man.
No, here's the thing.
Like, donate it to who?
Huh?
It would be funny if there was a boys' home somewhere and the Disney came around and Disney was like, look, we was going to make a second season of Acolyte. We're not going to make it.
It cost $180
million. Here's $180 million.
That's projected. Yeah. That's not fully reported.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I just say respect to everybody who made this. There were a lot of great highs, but it's a 2.
Okay. I'm going 6 as well. Mm-hmm. And now we go to the Midnight Meter. Oh, yeah. Daddy. So the Midnight Meter is a scale from 1 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
1 to 10. Is the meter 11 and 12 being reserved for game changes?
Pivotal essential
stuff. I'll start.
Okay.
6. Okay. Six on the meter.
Mm-hmm.
6 in anticipation. 6. Could have been the finale was a good finale.
That was the decisive episode.
Yes. Yeah.
The finale mm-hmm. was a good finale.
Yes.
It was so close to being a 7. It was really close to being a 7, but I, in good conscience, cannot give it anything more than a 6.
Yeah.
It's very close to being a 7, I'd say that.
Yeah.
6.9.
I would really have to give it a 6 because, again, like, some of the greatest, like, lightsaber battles I've ever seen. And as far as ideas are concerned, it, like, they're there. When the show hits, it really fucking hits. And it makes me so sad because... If this really, like, capitalized on its potential, this could have been one of the greats. And unfortunately, it's a 6 for me.
Yeah, I really want to give a 7 because, again, the stuff that worked, like the lightsaber fights, mm-hmm. like the choreography, is just fantastic. It's just some of the stuff, like, I'm going to, like, in a couple weeks, I'm going to go on YouTube and watch them. I'm not going back to Disney Plus for all that. But at the end of the day, the stuff that didn't work, like, really, really didn't work.
Yeah.
And so, I can't give it anything more than a 6. Charles! Your turn, buddy.
All right, so
change.
There's a little
world.
Something that I learned in my childhood in my household about integrity. Okay, you homes men can't be bought. We stand for what's right.
Right.
Leslie Headland. Who are you grandstanding for? Did a wonderful job.
This is the punditry. This is the pageantry.
You know, like you guys have all said, some of the most amazing fights we've seen. Great actors. Manny Jacinto is a star, deserves more roles. There was a lot of beautiful things about this season. But like I said, Coke Baby can't be bought. And with that, this is a 4 out of 12, guys.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
4 out of 10. And you guys should be disgusted.
We should be disgusted.
That you guys are lying on live.
Well, can I ask you a question? Why can't we have our opinion?
why should we be ashamed of what we said?
We're in the pocket of Michael Mouse.
Yeah.
Christ alive. Kathleen Kennedy cut the check, apparently, for the Acolyte. Be for real.
Guys, it's over. The Acolyte is over.
Hey, we're wrapping up. Everybody on live, thank you so much for tuning in.
Yo, the summer of content, man. We're one show down.
Yeah, we're one show down. First show out of here is Acolyte. The boys' finale is Hayes' job. Boys,
Hayes' job.
Boys' finale is on Thursday.
Yeah.
We will be back with the finale of the boys on Thursday. You guys, I'm telling you, it's going down tomorrow at the El Rey Theater. Down. Down. It's like a down.
You're.
Tomorrow at the El Rey. Are you wearing a Beyonce t-shirt?
Yeah,
a little bit of the Renaissance tour. A little, it's this.
That's
this
Will's activist stuff.
It, right, what are you it's talking gross about?
Hey, tell gross us about your. No, hold on.
Wait, how did you just notice that? I've walked in front of you for half the day.
Time out, Steve. Steve, please. Steve Patrick Allman. Tell us about your time at the Beyonce concert.
It was the second greatest concert I've been to.
All right. So, like, where'd you go? Like, who'd you go with? Like,
it was in Levi's Stadium, Bay Area.
Okay.
Great friend Valentina had a great time.
Okay, cool. What was your favorite Beyonce song she played that night?
It was actually a medley of some of the older songs that she played.
Okay,
What is this, a fucking pop quiz that you need that I need to qualify?
I'm just interested in your Beyonce takes. I didn't know that you were, you know, like
here's my take. Great artist.
You part of the Beehive?
No, not really. I went to a Beyonce concert and had a great time.
I mean, you bought a shirt, so obviously you're kind of a fan, though.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just buy merch random people. You know what I'm saying?
Wrap this up. It's obviously
What's the point you're going to make?
Steve's doing activist shit. I just
wanted to, you know, it's get fine. It from the man himself.
Right.
Crazy. Yeah. Where's your Taylor Swift shirt at? I know you got some.
I was saying that there's going to be a live show tomorrow.
we're looking for, if you look forward to this and more.
Okay, guys, come out to the El Rey Theater. What is it? Ringer.com/events for more info. Come out there. We'll hang out. Jomie's giving out hugs tomorrow. Jomie's giving out hugs.
What? To who?
It's the hashtag today.
Hashtag.
Like, you wait for it.
Oh, okay. Jomie giving out hugs tomorrow. Who said that? Yes.
I just want to be very clear.
He's hugging everybody.
I mean, maybe, but probably not.
Maybe.
Maybe. Wow.
We got him to a maybe in 10 seconds.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, the House of R will be deep diving the House of the Dragon and Acolyte. Every Monday, the Midnight Boys will be giving you our reactions to Hot D, which is heating up. How many more episodes of House of
Three Dragon?
Three more.
Yeah.
Three more. Thursday, we'll be back for the Boys Season 4 finale. Every Sunday, Talk the Thrones will be up right after the latest episode of Hot D ends. Our producers are Steve's architect, Almond. Old man Isaiah Black. Back in my day, whippersnapper. We had I'm from Boston. You ever heard of... I know you love LeBron. You ever heard of Bill Russell? You ever heard of Bill Russell? Now, y'all talk about the greatest of all time. Let me tell you something about Bill Russell. Bill Russell, he won 11 championships. Huh?
I'm sorry, is Isaiah in the room with us right now? Wow.
Bill Russell won 11 championships. What the old boy from Philadelphia? What was
his name? 8:30. Let's go, Philadelphia. Bro.
They called him Will Chamberlain. He was called the Big Dipper. The Big Dipper.
Same Bill Russell,
they called
by
him
the way.
Big Dipper. Yep.
Who got his jersey retired.
He couldn't do nothing with Bill Russell, though. Bill Russell.
Legend.
Alea, no nicknames in Neris.
Just move and past that.
Corey the Music Man, McConnell.
Can we give up a better name?
Jomie the Explainer, Titteron on social. Hashtag turn this house into a Jome.
Ooh.
I love that. Yeah. Additional production from The Watcher, Arjuna Ramgopal. Chuck, take us out.
Steve loves to pander. The Acolyte was a bore. I'll never lie to the people, because this fucking show was a foe.
Boo! We out, guys. Thanks for watching.
Thank you. Thank you.